Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Discussing what we are studying, it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
and we study it again and again and again till the Most High is satisfied. And then we study again and again and again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis in our assessment, leaving no stone and a leaf unturned, so we can give you the full and living color story of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Most High has feelings too. He needs love too. He needs to be valued too. And so we try to give you an in-depth study so you can understand the nature of the Most High. And then you can make a constructive and positive relationship with him based upon his codification, not your own. And also we share in these studies his nation, his inheritance, his people on this earth that should be doing the things that they should be doing. And if we did, our ancients, perhaps we wouldn't be sitting in these book universities and crying to ourselves and each other and lying to ourselves and each other, and certainly killing one another, abusing and mistreating one another. In these glorified prison occupations, I call them the inner prison and the outer prison. They have two prison systems, folks, if you don't know. They have the inner prison. When they throw you in, when you ain't doing what they tell you to do, and you're doing something you ain't got no business. Then they have the outer prison. I call those probationary, parolees. We're all in parole status in this universe, especially if you don't look at anything remotely like them. And for the most part, in this Western Hemisphere, so they tell it, they are the majority. So that being said, and we try to teach you about the Fourth Kingdom, which is basically universal white race supremacy. It is the Fourth Kingdom. It is universal. It is dominant. It controls everything. It controls this whole universe by virtue of their military armament and their World Bank Organization, World Health Organization, and so on and so forth. And you may say, Beyonce, you crazy as hell. What are you talking about? There's African leaders in Africa that runs countries. Yes, they may very well be running countries, but they're simply soccer players. They are leading by virtue of what has been put in existence for them to be. And they better not do any more than that. That's why they ain't got any nuclear weapons, okay? So, yeah, they may be in charge, let's say that, of these so-called countries. But truth be told, they're not leading anything, anywhere. And if you study history as I do, you would know what's happening. And you won't be confused about it. And so you will agree with me and us what universal white race is, what it does, how it works, and so on and so forth. Because if you had your eyes open now, you would see how it works. You see, these are the kind of people, when they don't get their way, they're just like a bad child. They'll turn over the table, they'll kick dirt in your face, and they'll take their marbles and go home. Then they'll come back and destroy the field, just like they're doing in this Western Hemisphere as we speak. See, their so-called approved leader, in the case of Donald Trump, didn't get his way. So he's ready to tear it all down because he's something special. See, they see themselves as something special. And they have an innate right to do this. And this country has been coloring them for so long, this criminal organization, that it's no small wonder that they're doing what they wanted. Yes, they may have got rid of the Italian mafia and so on and so forth. They may have gotten them under control, but not for their favorites, the universal white race supremacy crazy. They'll go out in the street, they'll hang you, lynch you, they'll quarter you, they'll burn you, they'll hang you, they'll burn your body down to soap and so on. These are the crazies. Although you have some in uniforms too, and you have them in suits, and you have them in Congress. See, they've been cutting these people for far too long. Now these people have turned on them. They are saying, get rid of the FBI. Get rid of the congressman. Get rid of everybody that we don't like. And throw in the Negroes as collateral damage. And we had did anything to them. Not nothing. They've done everything to us. But they always want to throw us into the equation. Yeah, get rid of those Negroes. We can't stand them. See, well, you're totally confused how universal white race supremacy works, what it is. You're the same. I'm lying. Yamsuit, you're being paranoid. History is not paranoid. And the facts and the evidence don't lie. You're just in denial, and you're delusional if you think otherwise. And you're lying to yourself and to each other. I see it quite often in my studies, in my universal study, because this universe is my university. I saw it in the case of the brother, mother who was killed in Tulsa, 80-year-old sister. Her son got on the national news and said, we love y'all. Why y'all don't love us? We try to get along with y'all. Y'all just want, we try to do pay our taxes because you don't understand. The Most High says they despise you. And it's quite evident that they do. But you looking for love in all the wrong faces, in all the wrong places. You don't look for love from the LOM, y'all. You want to look for love for your brothers and sisters. Oh, that's too much like right. You want the colonizers and the oppressors to love you. You know what that is? According to Alcoholics Anonymous, it's the definition of insanity. They've been doing the same thing over and over and over again, ever since our feet hit these shores, buck naked in the chain. And you're still begging them to give you justice, where in our studies, we find that justice and righteousness from the LOM. It's not from your oppressors, the colonizers. So you're saying no justice, no peace. Well, might as well not get ready for no peace then, because you sure in the hell ain't going to get no justice. Certainly not from your colonizers, the oppressor. And you're begging them, why don't you love me? Man, if that's not a case of the definition of insanity, I don't know what is. That's one thing that we study also on the Real Talk for Real People show. And it is imperative that you study. It's imperative, truth be told, that you know everything. We're watchmen and watch women. It's imperative that you know what's really going on. It's imperative that someone tells you what's really going on. It's imperative that you understand the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. It's imperative that you understand your nation, not a Western Hemisphere nation that's been stolen from other nations, but your nation. Your nation. You need your nation, and your nation needs you. As a matter of fact, go to Yah, gather us together and find out what's really going on. It's true. And you may be wondering, who is the we? Well, a whole lot of we ain't here today. The sisters, the ladies ain't with us tonight. They got some things they got to do, the sister. But it's brother's night and the feeling right. Oh, yes, it's brother's night. Oh, yeah. Oh, what a night. Yeah. Yamsuf Arif and Katriel from New York City. We're going to carry this show along until the sisters get back. Katriel's from New York City, as I indicated. Katriel's been studying the Most High for quite a while. Even before he came to a revelation of really what was going on, because he was totally confused about everything, like most of us don't know the LOM as we should know. And when Katriel turned 14, he surmised from his limited understanding at that juncture, all right, hey, ain't no love in the heart of the city. What am I here for? Hey, I just need to move on along. Ain't no love here. Katriel was wrong like the most of us are wrong. But Katriel was looking for love in the wrong places. And the Most High led Katriel to the Psalms by virtue of King David, the Korah, Levite brothers, Asaph, and so on and so forth. And by virtue of the Most High, taught Katriel what real love was. Because Katriel was looking for that real love. He was looking for that real love, and he found it. He found it through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Not only that, the Most High led him to the love of his life, his wife, his children, his grandchildren, and his friends, such as me, Sister Abia, Imam Dora, Sister Yehudi, and so on and so forth, and more members in this nation. He showed him what real love, and he's still showing him what real love is. And so praise and thanks to Most High for that. And Katriel, from 14-year-old, going on to 66 this year, praise the Most High, is still with us because the Most High showed him what was up with Tammy and what was happening. And certainly he showed him what real love was, an additional love along with that real love. Also, in conjunction with that, Cottrell knew he had to provide for his family. He wasn't one of those brothers talking about, I'm a man, I'm a man, just singing a song, beating his chest. He was a real kind of brother. He knew it took more than lip service to be a man. He knew it took action. He knew it took him to get him a job, get off his behind in front of the computer and playing computer games all day while mama out there working. No, he knew that a real man, man up and take care and provide for his family, which Cottrell did. Cottrell wasn't sitting around playing Pokemon while his sister was poking his wife because he wasn't a real man. Cottrell knew that it's up to me to take care and provide for my family. Although he had some assistance from his wife, but that wasn't her job. That was his job. He knew that. Cottrell was around sitting all day long watching video games and As the World Turns, One Life to Live, and General Hospital. No, he knew he had to make it happen. He wasn't sitting around letting mama come home with the food. He just laying there eating it all up. Mama brings some food stamps home. He talking about, he take the food stamps, talking about he a man. He wasn't there just letting mama get a check while he take the check. Then he saying he a man. He knew he had to check in and help mama to do the right thing for the family, which he did. You know what he did? Cottrell, although he is an educated brother, said to myself, Seth, I need a much more lucrative job than all that. You know, education is good. I need to feed my family. So Cottrell got into carpentry in New York City. And Cottrell was, he thought, I imagine, because I don't think it dawned on him. Oh, the money was good, but what he had to do to get it was a difficult matter. You see, Cottrell had a fear of heights. I suspect Cottrell thought, hey, I can build a 2-story, 3-story, 4-story house, I'm good to go. But to come to find out, Cottrell was building those high-rises, those Donald Trump towers, those twin towers. As a matter of fact, he worked on the 7th tower of the twin tower that fell too. But Cottrell, providing for his wife and his family, come to find out, he didn't like heights. And I suspect that heights didn't like him either, but he was good with that. But he knew what to solve his problem. He knew where to get his strength from to overcome his fears. Because y'all don't like us living in fear. And Cottrell knew this by his studies. There again, Cottrell went to the Psalms of Songs by King David, the Asaph, Korah brothers, and so on and so forth. And he got the strength he needed to overcome his fears. Because the Most High don't like you living in fears. Okay? So if you in fear, you ain't with the Most High. Alright? So Cottrell goes to the Most High in prayer, asking him every day before he hit that clock, maybe when he hit the clock, never mind. But he knew where to go to. He knew where to go to get his buckler, his shield, his high tower, and the place to hide beneath the pinions of his wings, which is the Elohim. And Cottrell did. He tested the Most High. Every morning Cottrell would get up. He would ask the Most High for strength to overcome his trepidation of heights, which the Most High accorded him because he asked him. And every afternoon, showing his appreciation and love for the Most High, because that's what he found love for. So he gave love to the Most High. He wasn't a selfish kind of brother and a sister. Just asked the Most High, hey, gimme, 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 gimme. But ain't got nothing to give the Most High. Cottrell has always, since his 14 years old, introduction to the Most High, has always given the Most High his love and appreciation. Because he knows that the Most High needs love too. So Cottrell would show the Most High his appreciation every day after he got off work. And he would praise and thank the Most High. And his humility and appreciation, like we all need to learn. Stop asking like Yah is a good luck charm. Gimme, 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 gimme. But you ain't got nothing for the Most High. You ain't got no conversation for him. You ain't got no appreciation for him. And you certainly ain't got no love. It's all about you. You something special. Oh, is that right? Well, I don't want to be in your lane then. I won't be like Cottrell when it comes to Most High, like the Most High says in regards to himself. Show him some love. Show him some appreciation. Show him some praise and blessing and thanksgiving. I imagine you get more from that. Praise and bless the Most High. Let my soul and all that is within me bless the Most High. Cottrell, my brother, is brother's night. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Praise Yah. Bless Yah, all my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my brother, Shalom, Yah, Sufari. And Shalom, I appreciate that. Cartrell.
Shalom Cartrell.
Yeah, man. And your introduction of me, it makes it seem like I did all this on my own. But trust me, if it wasn't for the parents that the Most High gave me, because what 14-year-old turns to Psalms and Proverbs? Not
exactly.
too many.
Exactly.
So my father and my mother, I have to give them all the credit in the world for the direction and the path of my life. Yeah, I was 14, but I was being imparted with incredible wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And
right.
I say I got courage from my mother. I got courage from my mother. Mm-hmm. I watched my mother when we moved to Harlem, New York City.
Right.
This dude tried to rob her. It's just me and her one evening. This guy tried to rob my mother of her pocketbook. My mother fought this guy off, and I stood there frozen in fear. I wasn't doing nothing but watching the whole situation.
Right.
But what I learned from her is that you got to fight back.
You have to fight back.
I learned courage living in New York City, Harlem, courage from my mother. And my father, I learned about Yah from him. He taught me who we were, who we are, and where to get our strength from.
Exactly.
So I didn't just get this on my own, like some 14-year-old, all of a sudden he just woke up and started thinking about Yah. No. My parents instilled that in me. And unfortunately, many of our people don't have parents like that.
Exactly.
So what you attribute to me, you got to, like, give credit to my mother and my father because they instilled discipline, knowledge of Yah in me to take the path and the direction that I'm on.
Exactly. What is that saying, Katria? Train up a child in the way to go?
And he will not depart from it.
Concerning this case, what happened? I'm so blessed.
I'm so blessed that I had the parents that I had.
Exactly. You had good people to follow after.
And my father, he grew up in foster care. His foster care parents used to lock him in a closet all day. Imagine that. And he came out safe. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you at all. He wouldn't talk about it to us, but I found out from another source. And my father used to be locked up all day in a closet.
Your daddy had a strong mind. It reminds me, my wife and I were watching The Young Brother in New York City that was locked up. You know, he got locked up to 16. Khalif. And how they would put him in solitary confinement on Rikers Island. And it affected young brother. That brother committed suicide not too long after he got out of an unjust conviction. It wasn't even conviction. They was holding him for 3 years and a monstrosity of a prison. For the inmates were in charge and the guards didn't give a damn, and so they would throw him in solitary confinement. It messed that young boy whose mind was still developing. It messed him up. We saw that documentary. I was so angry, Cottrell, how they treat us tacky, trashy, and are terroristic, and sometimes all three together given the circumstances. And that's certainly reflective of how they treated him. And that for your daddy to survive that, show something about your father. He just had it, man. He had what it took. He had a strong constitution. Everybody couldn't deal with your dad did and survive that, bro. It was crazy as hell.
And that's why we got to praise the Most High, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who blesses us with that resiliency because we are resilient people.
Exactly.
We've come through some horrors in the daughter of Babylon from being but naked on slave ships until right now because there's a lot of children, foster kids, and we worry about them, but Yah gives us resiliency. My father was locked up in a closet all day, 8 hours, 9 hours. And that's crazy. He never told us that story. I had to find out that story from somebody else. Mm-hmm. And for the man my father was to be who he was after that traumatic experience, I'm shocked. I'm amazed. How do you come out of that situation being sane?
Exactly.
How are you doing? How are you doing? You got to give praise, honor, and glory to the Holy Yisrael. Because not only did he come out of that situation,
in a closet.
What? In a closet. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't eat. You can't drink. 8 hours every day? Are you kidding me? In a closet?
Did he get away from that?
You try one day with that, okay? Yeah. You try one day with that.
Did he get away from that family?
Hmm?
Did he get away from that environment, that family?
Yeah, his older sister, my great aunt, she located all her brothers and sisters who were in foster care, including my father. And they all came back together and told us the importance of family because they were in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 7 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to find all of them who were in foster care. And she did it.
Mm-hmm. Good for her.
My father's oldest sister.
Good for her, brother.
Yeah, man.
Good.
And trust me, our people are still in that same situation today. How many foster care children are there? And what are they going through?
They're catching hell.
What are they going through? Huh?
They're catching hell.
Because people that take foster care children, they only in it for the money. It's not for the love, compassion, or development.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, our brother Yirmiyahu, who played for the Giants, he was in foster care. He was in foster care. Him, his brother, his sister, they were in foster care because his mother and father were on crack.
Oh, man. I didn't know Yirmiyahu because he don't talk about it. You know, nobody has to talk about the traumatization because I don't talk about it until I get to know you and I can trust what I tell. If I can't trust what I say, I won't tell you nothing. I won't keep telling you stuff because you take a people traumatic spirit and you try to make it a non-issue. So people are serious about what traumatizes. You know what I mean? So.
But it shows the resiliency, how resilient Yah has made us. That foster care system in America is terrible. The children that go through foster care, they go through sex trafficking and all of that.
I can imagine.
And they have nobody to back them up.
And that's why I have a zero tolerance when it comes to people that abuse children in any shape, form, or fashion. Psychologically, physically, emotionally, and definitely sexually. So I have zero tolerance for people like that.
So Jeffrey Epstein, you can look at his consciousness, what he thought he was doing, what he was doing wasn't wrong. You taking minors, 14, 15 years old, and you having sex with them?
They sick, bro.
And you talking about the power elite, people in high power.
Right.
Yeah, people in high power having sex with minors.
Right. There's no excuse.
What? Nah, not at all. Not at all.
People
should be stunned.
I don't give a damn if somebody sexually abused you when you were a child. That does not justify you doing it to somebody else, okay? That should make you afford even more if you're a victim, okay? In my case,
the Most High tells us that all these codes that he puts down on the earth for mankind are not just for the nation of Israel, but it's for all nations.
Exactly.
All nations will be judged based on what they do. You raping children, and you promote that.
Exactly.
You don't condemn them. You're in trouble with the Most High, who's watching everything.
Exactly. Praise Yah, God.
So, praise Yah. They may think they get away with it, you know, because they got money and power, but it all catches up with them in the end.
So in LA, you can run, but you can't hide. It's true.
No question.
The dog will be brought to the light, my brother.
Exactly. And you better be walking the right path so you don't take that path to She-Hole. And we know where She-Hole is, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
hey,
some people.
Hell no.
A lot of people.
Hell yeah. All right, Cottrell, yep. Fellow students. It's okay with Cottrell and you fellow students. Let's put in some work, shall we? May the Most High bless us. And may he direct and order our steps that we don't lean to our either continues. And chapter 39 is a continuation of the destruction of Gog armies. He says, and you, son of man, who is the and you, son of man, that the Most High is making reference to? Ezekiel. And he says, prophesies against God and said this. Thus says the Elohim Yah, because I am against you, O God, the prince of Rosh, Meshit, and Tubal, I will turn you around and lead you on, bring you up from the far north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. I'm gonna set you up for your destructions at the mountain of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of you. You're going to come there with confidence, but when you get there, I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and your allies, the people who are with you. I will give you to the birds of every sort, to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, five spaces, Yah Elohim, Elohim Yah, however you want to interpret it. I will send fire on Magog, on your land. See, y'all missed that part. He said, I will send fire on Magog, your land, and on those who live secure and security in the your allies. Then they should know that I am the Elohim. Not only I'm going to give you a knockout here, I'm going to send it right back. You're going to reap what you sow back at you. You tried to bring it here, but I'm going to send stuff. I'm going to send you a Christmas present, although I don't believe in Christmas. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people. By result of what I'm going to do, my people Israel. And I would not let them profane my holy name anymore, my people. Then the nation said, know that I am the Elohim, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says Yah Elohim. This is the day which I've said it's going to happen in a futuristic term. It's certainly, be assured of that fact. Those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out. And here's what my people going to do when this go down. Those in the city who dwell in the city of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the tanks, the bazookas, and everything else, the bows and the arrows, the javelins. You know, they got missiles named javelins and spears. They will make fires with them for 7 years. They're going to burn for 7 years all their weaponry. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down any from the forest, because you ain't got to do with their modern-day weaponry from the forest, because they will make fires with the weapons. They will use their weapons on set them on fire. They will plunder those who plundered them. They're going to take everything they got off of them who plundered them and pillage those who pillaged them, says Yah Elohim. Now the burial of Gog. It will come to pass in the day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel. They ain't going to be buried in their homeland. They're going to be buried in Israel. The body of those who pass by the east of the sea, it will obstruct travel, because there they will bury God and all his multitude, his allies. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be buried. They will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says Yah Elohim. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land, our land, and bury those bodies remaining on the ground. This is specific stuff. In order to cleanse it, and as we have to cleanse our land, at the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bones, he will set up a marker by it. Man, this is specific stuff. So the burials have buried it in the valley of Hamon. Gog, the name of the city, will also be named Hamonah. Thus they shall cleanse the land, us. A triumphant festival after we clean up the land, which the Most High has saturated with these Roshans and their allies. As for yes, go ahead.
7 years?
7 years. That's a lot of bodies, brother.
There's no other empire, not the Babylonian, not the Assyrian, not the Medes or the Persians, but this fourth kingdom. Yah,
right.
So you're going to be burying them for what? 7 years?
Seven years we're going to burn their weaponry, and 7 months we're going to bury all of them. It's going to take us a complete 7 months to complete the burial.
So 7 years of burning weapons? That don't sound like bows and arrows and spears and swords and knives, do it?
No.
7 years?
Like, it sounds like this modern-day weaponry.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Tanks, planes, aircraft carriers, submarines, you name it, battleships, 7 years.
To burn all this modern-day weaponry. And that stands to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time, brother. That's a lot of weaponry.
And do they have a lot of weaponry out?
You better believe it. They got 7 years worth. They consolidated.
They got
together.
More than 7 years worth. 7 years is minimal with all the weapons that's on the planet Earth. Trust me.
Well, those that for that that affiliation that gonna go along with Rush, Mishih, and Tubal and their affiliates, in the case of Persia, Iran, and so on and so forth. Yeah, they got about 7 years worth.
In the beginning of this chapter, what does he call Gog and Gog? He calls them Rosh.
Rosh, yeah. Rosh.
And Rosh in Hebrew is head. And we're talking about the head of universal white racist supremacy. Because Russians pure. They're not mixed. They're pure universal white racist supremacy, aren't they? They're not like America. Everybody
and
their brother come to America.
And they think they're something special by virtue of it, like the rest.
Oh, yeah. No question. That's why God calls them Roach.
Roach.
You head of the last empire, Roach.
Roach.
And Vladimir Putin is trying to get back to that. We the head. Y'all all mixed up in America. They got a melting pot of cultures. Everybody from around the world comes and gets power with y'all. We straight, pure Roach. Okay, Roach. We check it through out.
Okay, Roach. Let's see how that works out for you. Roach. Cottrell.
And Donald Trump? Donald Trump? Who he down with? Is he down with Roach?
You better believe it.
Okay.
Stand up there looking like a big boy in short pants standing next to Gladwell. At that
interview. Why is he down with Roach?
Yeah.
And half the American people are following Donald Trump. Who's following Roach?
Roach.
Okay.
You better believe.
I'm pretty
sure some of the information that the FBI was seeking out, Roach already got it. Roach already knows.
Y'all too.
Yo.
How ironic is it that they want to mess with us because they think we are a threat?
Yeah.
You know, your own people got targets on your back.
Exactly.
CIA, FBI, Congress, your own people, your own brothers,
exactly.
More than us. And they got lethal weapons. We ain't got lethal weapons. We ain't ever attacked the Capitol. No, we ain't do that. We Israelites, we don't do that.
Well, as I said, Cottrell, If you don't know how what universal white race supremacy is and how it works, you'd be totally confused about everything. But we know what it is. We know of the fourth kingdom, and we know how it works. Okay? And so that's why we are. Yeah, go ahead.
We know that Yah said you're going to take care of them, right?
You better believe it. You can
okay.
bank. You can take
ain't
that
worry about that.
You can take that to the bank, and you can put it in your peace pipe and smoke it. Yeah? Godrell, we're going to have a festival, a triumph festival. After this occasion, Yah says to Ezekiel, as for you, son of man, thus say Elohim Yah, speak to every sort of bird. He already put it out. They already calibrated when this time comes to do what they got to do. Because he already spoke to them. Speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather together from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I'm sacrificing for you. A great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel. You may eat flesh, drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls. I'm going to throw them in with you. All of them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are full. You shall drink blood till you are drunk at my sacrificial meal, which I'm sacrificing for you. You shall be filled at my table, along with that, with horses and riders, with mighty men, with all men of war, Rosh and their allies. I'm setting up a banquet for y'all. I want you lions and tigers and you bears. I want all you eagles and you owls and you vultures, all you meat eaters. I'm inviting you to a big meal. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw in some bulls and goats and rams and lamb for you.
So, and that's for y'all too?
Yes.
What does that say about the animals on the earth?
They programmed and listened to Yah, just like they were programmed to come to Noah's Ark. These animals are programmed and listen to the Elohim. They follow. Ezekiel already put it out there. It's in their innate sense. It's in their DNA. When that time comes, they come. And you better believe it. And they come.
And you know what's funny?
Yes.
You know what's funny, Yamso?
What's that, Katriel?
Scientists wonder if animals have any kind of intelligence.
Katriel, me and my wife was watching a program, and it was from a place, start with P, and these birds were programmed to fly 5,000 miles. No water, no eating, nonstop. So, from Port Augusta, something like that, all the way to all the way.
That they had to go to Texas.
Yeah, but they were flying from.
Yeah,
over
somewhere.
Yeah, but it was 5,000 miles. No eating, no drinking, no malingering, no just straight 5,000 miles. These animals can be programmed every year, and they do that, Cartrell. And just like if these animals can do that on their own accord. Certainly, you know, they got the message, just like a computer in their little brain, their little bird brain. So when Yah calls these animals, these birds, these lions, these tigers and bears, believe you me, they coming in droves. It's going to be a meal.
And I want you just to start. Do these birds have GPS?
No.
Not that I know of, Godrea.
Okay. So how do they find they place from point A to point B, flying 5,000
miles. Nonstop.
No
because,
GPS. Okay.
Yeah, because Yah is programmed them to, Roger.
Let me set you out on a journey for 5,000 miles without GPS.
Bro, I'm going to get lost first. With no compass and no map, I'm going to get lost first.
Okay. And we talking about birds here.
Yeah.
How about monarch butterflies who fly from Mexico to Canada? Monarch butterflies fly from Mexico to Canada. How many thousands of miles is that?
A butterfly.
A butterfly.
Their program, just like these porpoises, these whales, these seals, they go from place to place. They ain't got no GPS and compass or map, but they seem to get there. And you mean to tell me this is unbelievable for you, for Yah, to tell Ezekiel to call out to these animals, these critters, and they can't make it? They can't make it with a time allotted for them? I bet you don't be in the way when they start coming. That's all I'm going to say. Don't be standing in the middle of the road, okay? That's all.
So I'm going to tell you something, Yahshua.
Yes.
The prophet Ezekiel, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
He was just as much in tune with Yah as these animals.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the level we're trying to reach.
Exactly.
While we struggle to reach the level of the animals, and we think they're lesser and inferior to us,
right.
And they're not. Bears, lions, tigers, they're superior physically. They got claws. They got fangs. They're faster. They're stronger. But what gives us superiority? What gives us superiority is the Most High's word.
Yeah.
So we have to be in tune with Yah's word just like they are. And animals, trust me, are in tune with Yah's word. That's
exactly.
why he's telling them, this is futuristic. You don't think the animals know there's going to be a feast for them? Mankind hunts animals right now, right? Mankind hunts animals, puts their heads on a wall. But Yah is describing a time when what? The animals are going to feast on Gog Magog because they're the hunters. They're the ones who shoot down the lions and the tigers and the bears yearly, hunting season. No, Yah said, I'm going to flip the script. Now, animals going to hunt you. Gog Magog. Now, Sue, you right there? ABC's boy got you.
What's up, Cartrell?
Yeah, I'm looking for feedback, man. I'm looking for feedback.
Oh. Are you talking about the animals?
Yeah, animals on tour, yeah.
Well, yeah. Animals can teach you a lot. They can teach you that they're tuned in to the Most High. They're codified to the Most High. They don't join the gay rights movement and things like that. Black Lives Matter. They do what animals are supposed to do, what the Most High is codified them to do. And like you said, we can learn a lot from animals. Simply by looking at it, they're codified. A dog going to act like a dog. He's not going to grab a rainbow flag and walking down the street switching sideways. He ain't going to do none of that. Okay? They going to do what dogs do. And those monarch butterflies and those little birds we saw, they going to do what they're programmed. And they ain't got no problem doing what the Most High tells them to do.
So what we're reading here, right, is prophecy, right?
Right. Right.
And the Most High is prophesying to the animals, right?
Exactly.
You mean to tell me that animals know prophecy?
Well, apparently, because Ezekiel has prophesied to them. And so they ready to do what they got to do when they got to do it. And they ain't got no problem with doing it. We're the only ones. We're supposed to be humans. We're supposed to be a little bit better. We're supposed to be in charge of them. We ain't even charge of our own selves. We can't follow the Most High. We want to always challenge him and contest him. But these animals don't have a challenge for the Most High. And it's a prophecy, a long time in coming, but they set, they ready. They set, they ready. And you better believe when the Most High calls upon them, when they're activated, they coming. Animals can teach us a lot about being humble and being ready to be activated by code by the Most High culture.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to bring up an example, that Philippine tsunami.
Right.
12 hours before the tsunami hit, Yah gave the animals the message. Mm-hmm. So the farmers, they saw the animals acting up 12 hours before the tsunami, to the degree they had to open up their barn doors and let the animals out and go where they wanted to go. The mm-hmm. animals led the farmers to the highest hills on the land.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the farmers following the lead of these animals who knew 12 hours before the tsunami came that they should be following those animals.
Right.
So animals know prophecy, what we're reading here. Yah's mm-hmm. prophesying to the animals, birds in the sky. You have
right.
a feast on Gog Magog.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me animals don't know prophecy. We underestimate the intelligence of animals.
That's our problem, Kadri, because we are humans. That we don't think anything else has any intel. Anything else is connected to the LOM. But in fact, they are. In fact, they do have intel directly from the Most High. And as I said, and I say again, Kadri, animals can teach you a whole lot. If you're just willing to see them, examine them, follow that example, it may very well save your life one day. But if you're Rosh Gog Magog, well, just simply by you knowing that ain't going to help you because your activities are set in motion as always. So, okay? But for
us,
right.
There's a saying that people say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Birds of a feather
flock together.
So you mean to tell me birds are more intelligent than African Americans, Negroes, coloreds, and blacks, and Israelites? Because we don't fly together, do we?
No.
And now we have the same feather?
Yes, we are.
But we don't fly together, do we?
No, we don't.
Ain't that crazy?
No.
Birds are smarter than us. Birds of a feather do what?
Flock together.
Okay.
But see,
simple.
These birds are humble. They have no bone to pick with one another. They're just doing what they're told to do, and they know that they're supposed to do it together. Us, on the other hand, we're a whole different. We're birds of a different feather. Crazy. Cuckoo for cocoa.
No, we got the same feather, but we're delusional.
Yeah.
You a pigeon, and you think you're a hawk. You think you're an eagle. No, you're a freaking pigeon.
Hey, look here. God damn, what you said. I saw that pigeon while you were talking about trying to dive bomb on another pigeon.
A pigeon trying to dive bomb what?
Hold
some
another,
red
another
on the ground.
Hold another pigeon. No, he think he a hawk.
Thinking he a hawk. No,
yeah.
Y'all say we his sheep. But we
right.
running around here talking about we lions, lions of Judah. No,
yeah.
Not the lion of Judah. Most often mm-hmm. we his flock.
Right.
And the greatest man in the tribe of the line of Judah, he saw himself as a sheep, King David. Yah is my shepherd, and all I am is a sheep.
Right. He didn't try to make orders. He tried to follow orders. There's a big
King David didn't walk around talking about, I'm the lion of Judah.
Right.
Show me your lion, Paul. No, he didn't do that.
No.
Yah is my shepherd. I'm just a sheep in the pasture. And he's given me his powers.
Because
I'm in tune with him.
Out what the Most High LM wanted him to do and following through on it.
Yeah,
I mean, his thing was doing his own thing. What made him and gave him the strength and the victories that he got, he always went to the Most High in prayer. He didn't go up to the Most High. Look here, check this out, y'all. I'm going to do it like that, and I'm gonna do it like that. You got a problem with it? No. What he did, he said, Yah Elohim, hear me. King Saul is chasing me. What should I do? Which way should I go? How should I handle this matter? Most High Elohim, my son Absalom, he's going against me, Father. What should I do? Which way should I go? How should I handle the matter? When going against the Philistines in many occasions, yeah, I'm fighting the army of the Philistines in so-and-so such a location. Which way should I go? How should I do it? And so on and so on. How should I lead your people? Not I'm something special to hell with it. I do what I want to do. And don't be asking me no questions. I'm the king. Come on.
So King David, who the Most High anointed as a teenager, had the advantage of watching King Saul, king of the nation of Israel.
Right.
So he's learning what he should and should not do.
Exactly.
You're looking at King Saul. Oh, you're not listening to Yah. Me? Yah has anointed me. I'm going to listen to what Yah says.
Right.
So King David had that philosophy that my mother gave me. You can learn from everybody what to do and what not to do. So he's watching his king. And his king ain't doing right by Yah. And he realized you have to do right by Yah in order to get the victory.
Right. Because I'm sure he saw King Saul not study the Most High Word that he should have been doing. And I'm pretty sure he said, this man, he got all these scrolls right here. He ain't open to one. He's sitting up here melancholy and depressed and so forth and so forth. Man, I'm going to the Elohim on this. I'm not sitting up here melancholy. I got to be soothed by me. I'm just a little boy. You know, I'm just trying to do the best I can. Look at him looking at me, Eli. I see him looking at me, Eli. I know I need me some Elohim. Okay? And then he got that spear right by me. Think I'm a fool. King Dawood, Prince Dawood at that time, wasn't nobody's fool. You know what I mean? So, you know, where it goes to show Cartrell and I say, it's best to be part of a flock. Okay?
And right. So he was never a prince.
Yeah,
he went from shepherd boy to being the anointed king.
Exactly. Just go show. Humility goes a long way. It's our strength. Seeking the Most High goes a long way. It's our wisdom and understanding. It's our comfort. It's our shield. It's our high tower. It's our buckler. It's the pinions of the wings which beneath we hide behind. Simply dependent upon one's own strength, as in the case of King Saul, you see where they got him. King Dawood wasn't no fool. He went back to try that road, leaning on one's own understanding, depending upon one's own wisdom and understanding, and leaning to one's own understanding. And King Dawood knew how to be humble. He wasn't coming like when he came to bring his brothers their food. He wasn't coming there looking for no trouble, but he wasn't running from none neither. Okay? He didn't come looking for no trouble.
So King David had the advantage that we don't have today, right? And what advantage did King David have? He knew who he was, right? I'm an Israelite from the tribe of Judah.
He knew his hereditary
house.
He knew his father. He knew his brothers. He knew the king, King Saul. He knew the army. You know, he knew the land. So, yeah, he had many advantages in what we got.
He knew Moses, what Moses did, delivering us out of Egypt, what Yah had done. He knew all the judges.
Yeah. Apparently, he meditated on it. Young fellow.
Our people today don't have the information that King David had. King David knew his ethnicity. King David knew his history. King David knew he was an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. And we don't have that advantage today.
No.
And he was a teenager when Yah anointed him king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So his situation is different from ours.
Right.
But he utilized his situation to connect with the Creator, like we all should do.
Yes.
Which was what King Saul should have done, like the prophet Samuel did. And sometimes we could have all that. Yah.
Right.
Instructing us, counseling us, and we just ignore what Yah is telling us to do.
Exactly.
That's a sad example of King Saul. But
right.
King David learned the fallacy of King Saul.
Right.
And that's what Yah is giving us. We need to learn from the fallacy of our ancient fathers.
Exactly.
We see what they did wrong, and we know how to change it. Because Yah is telling us how to change it. So we have to be like King David. We see what's going wrong. But we're not going to be like that. We're going to change it.
Exactly. And I don't recall him bad-mouthing his hereditary house, his tribe, and his nation. I don't recall him looking for a fight with his hereditary house, his tribe, nation. He would avoid a fight at all costs when it came to his king and his nation. You know,
and you said something important right there. Because what do we do today? We point fingers at each other. We point and scream out our family, our flaws, our dirty laundry, like we on the Maury Povich show.
True.
Right? King David didn't do that.
No,
he could have did that to King Saul. He could have pointed out King Saul's dirty laundry, but he never did that, did he? Ever.
No.
He never pointed his finger at King Saul, who was trying to kill him every day of his life. He never pointed his finger at King Saul.
I don't
recall that. We need to learn a lot from King David. Even if your own people are your enemy, trust me, don't point your finger at them. Don't point your finger at your own people. Curse
exactly.
those who curse you. When you curse your brother, guess what you're doing? You're cursing yourself.
Exactly.
When we curse and put down our own people, guess what we're doing? We're putting down ourselves.
And I told that to someone as far as a marriage is concerned. When you're talking about your wife to the public, you're talking about yourself. And when you're talking about your husband to the public, you ain't lifting yourself up, okay? So, and that goes along not only with a marriage and a family, it goes along with a nation. You ain't making yourself look good to put your people down, okay? And you don't get any points for that. It just shows what kind of person you are. That's all that is.
And why are you fighting your enemies, why are you fighting your family when your enemies are trying to take your head off?
Both
you're so focused on your brothers and your sisters and putting them down when your enemy is trying to take all of our heads. How come you're not focused on them?
Delusional.
Yeah.
So
you keep pointing a finger at our people, our flaws, our fallacies, our shortcomings. You can keep doing that, but you're not pointing a finger at the enemy who's trying to take our heads.
You better believe
it.
You better believe
it. So I hear our people. You could point your finger at Israel. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. But you ain't saying the same thing about our enemies.
Exactly. Are they scared to talk about them? He's scared to say something about the universal white race supremacy. Oh, they don't say nothing when I say it on my page on Food Book. I keep it real, as we said.
But that's universal. That's a universal thing. It's easy to fight your brothers and your sisters because you know them.
Right. Exactly.
But when somebody in the street punch you upside your head, what you going to do then?
Run home.
Are you going to fight them with the same passion that you fight your brothers and sisters with? Are you going to do a coward?
Because
you don't know this person. And they punch you upside your head.
Yeah,
those are the lessons you got to learn in New York City. I had to fight my brothers and sisters every day. But when a stranger punches you and knocks you upside the head, are you going to treat them the same as you treated your brother and sister? That's passionately.
Exactly.
And you have
exactly.
to. Somebody punch you upside the head, you got to go in. Just like you fight your own family, you got to fight strangers even harder. But we tend to fight our own family, our own people. And you can see in our community, we shoot each other down.
Yeah.
But we're afraid to shoot our real enemy who's really killing us.
You better not cross the block over there to get to us. Okay? Cartrell, let's conclude, brother, because you got some. So thank you, brother. And then restore to the land. And this is a very important statement right here. We'll restore. The land needs us and we need the land. Restore to the land.
So what verse are you in?
This is verse 21, brother.
All
right. So I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed. My hand, which I have laid on them.
Has that happened yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
So the house of Israel shall know that I am Yah, that Elohim. From that day.
Do we know that yet?
It hadn't happened yet. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel, they going to finally realize that those imitators over there are simply that. And who are the real captives? The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity.
For what?
For their iniquity. Because they were unfaithful. Now, say it again.
It was our own fault that we're in a situation that we're in now, which is why we have to read, what did our forefathers do to put us in this situation? We have to know.
We have to know. You have to know your faults, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies. They were still in their hands. And they all fell by the sword, and certainly they did, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions. I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them.
So that's so important, Yamsu. That's so important. It says, because what? We transgressed against Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Yah do?
Yah
said, I hid my face from them. Wait a minute. Hold up. The creator of the universe is hiding his face from us?
Yep.
And then what did he do? I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, who we still trying to make our friends.
Yeah.
They ain't trying to make us their friends. We trying to make them our friends.
Exactly.
And they fell by the sword. And we fall by the sword every day, don't we? We get shot down, thrown in jail every day. We falling by the sword. I did to them. Who did to them? Yah did to us.
Mm-hmm.
According to our uncleanness and according to our transgressions.
Exactly.
So our situation that we in is based on what we do. And Yah will hide his face from us as long as we're not codified.
Right. And then we continue to do what we're doing, expecting different results.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Gotcha. And it says in 25, therefore, thus said Yah Elohim, now I will bring back the captives of Yaqub and have mercy on the whole, not just the tribe of Yehuda, but the whole house of Israel. Mm-hmm. I will be jealous for my holy name.
So do we deserve this?
No.
And why is Yah doing it?
For his name's sake.
Okay. That's what we have to understand.
Exactly.
It ain't about us. It ain't nothing about us. I don't care who you think you are in the nation of Israel. It ain't about none of us.
You better believe it. Stop lying to yourselves and to each other. And he says, thank you, Katria. After they have borne their shame.
You're going to bear what? You're going to bear what?
Shame.
What do we have to be proud of? What do we have to be proud of? Our history? Our history is shameful. We got a rap sheet.
Right.
We're so proud of that we Israelites.
Nothing. Bear your shame.
Bear our shame as the nation of Israel. Stand up. Bear your shame. Don't be proud. You Israelites. So what? You should bear your shame. We shameful.
You ain't got nothing to be proud of. And
No. Excuse my French.
Uh-huh. Okay. Excuse his French. But I'm going to say go to hell with that. And all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me.
All our what?
When they were unfaithful to me.
You know, that's what Donald Trump calls for, right? Loyalty. Loyalty to Donald Trump? Loyalty to Donald Trump?
Please.
And we see people will lose their lives for Donald Trump.
Exactly. Insanity.
Are we willing to put our lives on the line for the Most High Yah, creator of the universe?
Yes, but not for Donald Trump. Hell to the no-no.
Okay.
All right. Donald Trump and his kind, hell to the no-no. You are unfaithful to me. When you dwell safely in their own land, no one made them afraid. I had y'all back. When I had you there, no one made, but you're afraid now. When I brought them back from the peoples among these nations, gathered them out of their enemies' land, and see, stop getting on TV talking about can we be friends. Why can't we be friends?
You cannot be friends with your enemies. What part of that you don't understand?
We don't like the word enemies because we're trying to make them our friends.
Well,
they're not trying to make us their friends, are they?
Yeah. The hell with your friendship. They don't think nothing about your friendship. With that, why can't we be friends nonsense? They know. But you better find out. Because he said, I gathered them out of their enemies. They're not their friends, man. And I hollered in them in the sight of many nations. Then they should.
And how do they treat us now? Do they treat us like friends or do they treat us like enemies?
Man, they see you like walking targets, okay? Every day, of every hour, of every minute, in every aspect of your life. Maybe labor, law, politics, sex, medicine care, housing, and anything, and every aspect of your life, they see you as, and then you think you're going to get the best hospital care from them. Man, what you smoking on? You think you're going to get the best housing from them? Man, what you smoking on? You think you're going to get the best labor, law, politics from them? Man, what you smoking in? Y'all said they your enemy. What enemy gave their enemy the best of under any circumstance?
And we asking, our enemy for voters' right to vote, to choose who will be our leaders over us from amongst your people?
Man, stop believing the okie doke. Stop believing the three-card model, okay? Now you see it. Now you don't. Wait the next 2 years. We'll do it again, boys. Wait the next 4 years. We're progressing. I guess you are guessing because you ain't progressing. Because you don't seem to get it. They're not your friends. They're your enemies. I didn't say he's taking an ear out your ally land. Your allies, your enemies. And that's just that only.
Do they love us? Do they love us or do they hate us?
Cocktail. Whatever you get, man, say me something. if you think they are friends, if they show any evidence of a friendship, Cocktail, no.
After 400 years and counting, I don't think they are friends at all.
Nah.
They send us off to war and shoot us down in the streets when we come back as veterans.
In your uniform. Oh, yeah. Some of us never cease to amaze me, Kadri. We love to lie to ourselves and one another. We love to do same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. According to
and while they're sending our sons and daughters off to war, what they doing with their sons and daughters?
Oh, they're in college. No, they're in Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
Waiting on the heat that die down.
That's what Trump did, right? He went to Canada, right?
You better believe it.
Your man avoided that draft.
He's the great white leader. Godzilla, let's go to verse 27 again. When I brought them back from the people, the different nations, he gathered them out of their enemies' lands.
He did what?
Gathered them out of their enemies' lands.
So that goes to say that Yah will do what?
Gather us together out of our enemies' land.
And that's not the website. Y'all will gather us together. No, that's not it. Y'all will gather us.us. That's how we nation building. And this is evidence of the word of Yah that he said he's going to do what?
Gather them out of their enemies, a lot of them, lands, a lot of them.
Did he say he's going to send his son or some Messiah or some Christ to bring us out of our enemy's land? Or did he say he was going to do it?
What are you reading that at? Ain't no red letters over here, bro.
The creator of the universe says that what? I will bring my people out of where?
their enemies, a lot of them, lands, a lot of them.
All right. So they criticize us for talking about universal white racist supremacy, but our people have enemies, and we got to wake up to that reality. People trying to kill us.
Yeah, different nations. I apologize to them in the sight of many nations. Then they should know that I am Yah, the Elohim, who sent them into captivity. That's why the reason they're there. Ain't it the only reason why they're there? Because I sent them into captivity among the nations. But also,
and the nations think it's by their own power they put us in captivity.
Y'all say, I sent them there.
In reality, the Most High gave them power over us.
Exactly.
Otherwise, if we had did the right thing, if people had power over us, he would have no power over us at all.
Praise God. In addition, thank you, Katrin. In addition to that, and in conclusion, but brought them back to their land and let not back to heaven, okay? Back to their land, which is heaven for them, and left none of them captives any longer. I will not hide my face from them anymore. I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says Yah Elohim. I'm taking them back. They mine. Good, bad, and ugly. I'm taking them back. I'm going to handle this. They have borne their shame. They know they ain't nothing special. And I'm bringing them on back home. I'm going to clean them up once I got them. You know. The mistakes that the ancestors made, they acknowledge, they continue, and they're bearing their shame. We ain't nothing special. Until you get to that status, that juncture, and this relationship, this codified relationship, you ain't going to get nowhere. You're going to still be here, crying and lying, lying to yourselves and to each other, mistreating, abusing, and dominating one another, and sometimes killing, and trying to get along with your enemies. Why can't we be friends? With the evidence, 402 years in this captivity, in this Western Hemisphere, don't lie. They ain't your friends. And he said about going back to heaven. Your land is your heaven. Okay? Your nation, in relationship with your nation, is the best thing as far as heaven is concerned. In your land, in your relationship with the Elohim, in your acknowledgement of your iniquities, your ancestors' iniquities and transgressions, and bearing it, and humbling yourself, stop trying to be lions. We ain't nothing but the flock, like the Most High said. And learn how to humble yourself. Stop talking loud and saying nothing and doing nothing. And certainly what the Most High don't tell you what to say or do. Stop y'all doing too much. Y'all are doing too much and not what the Most High says. You're not lions of anything. You're lying about everything. Because you don't know the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You don't know what rap our ancients did. You don't know what rap we continue to do. And you walking around beating on your chest. Talking about, what did we do special? What did our ancients do special? Get that into your skulls. Learn to be flock. Learn, and what flock do? What a flock of sheep. They'll run around pretend to be lions. They're humble. They follow the shepherd. They contested what the shepherd said. Hey, let's move the sheep over here. Yeah, I'm not going over there. I'm a special sheep. I'm a special sheep. I'm not going over there. I make the decision around here. That's why we are. And we need to get out of that mindset. And then, I don't like that sheep over here. He looking at me funny. Why you step on my food, sheep? I'm gonna cut you. Well, we are a monstrosity. And you know why we are a monstrosity? Because we refuse to humble ourselves to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we refuse to love one another as we love ourselves. And everybody running around here talk about, oh, I got fringes on my sheep feet. Oh, I'm a moray out of the sheep. You ain't nothing. You ain't know who really you are. Humble yourself before the Most High. Bear your shame, man. Bear your shame, sister. And stop trying to be something special. You ain't gonna never be nothing special until you humble yourself before the Most High. And then you ain't gonna be special then. You're gonna be servants of the Most High, as you should be, as our ancients should have been. Get it out of these situations we in. Stop hating on one another. Learn to love one another. I don't know what to say. I'm done talking today on that. I'm done telling y'all the truth. Humble yourself for the Most High. Love and take care of one another. Pray for forgiveness for our ancients and for ourselves, for the continuum. Ain't nobody special. We are all dirty out here. Let's get it together. Let's get codified. This nation needs you, and you need your nation. And one can't do it without the other. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katrell, you have any additional comments? If not, we are running no longer. Just me and you. We stand up to time. But it's brother's night. So Katrell, if you got him in the commentary, we all is. If not, and when you're done with your commentary, we're going to move right along to that lovely song and Psalms.
He spoke a mouthful a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He brought you from being crash dummy from
I am
to where you have maintained his word since 2013, mm-hmm. 9 years. That's incredible. You went from a crash dummy.
Yeah, it's incredible, Coach.
Incarceration.
I ain't nothing
military
special.
Indoctrination.
Ain't
and Yah has blessed you. Yah has blessed you with bringing his word forth. Because it's important.
I'm just doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yah does it incredible. Yah does it spectacular.
Right.
And the fact that this chapter, I like verses 28-29. Mm.
Right.
Because if you don't know, somebody better tell you.
You better believe.
They will know that I am Yah, their powers, in that I caused them to go into captivity. Anybody mm-hmm. trying to tell us how we got in captivity, Yah said, I'm going to let you know. All Israel
right.
among the nations
mm-hmm.
and have gathered them to their own land. That's going to happen.
Exactly.
Then I will leave none of them captive. How many of us are going to be left captive, Bob?
None. Not unless it's by choice you want to stay.
Yah said you will leave none of us captives. So no matter how much you try to teach our people, enlighten our people, try to bring our people back to Yah, how many captives are going to be left?
None.
Because Yah is thorough.
Well,
then I will leave none of them captive anymore.
Seems to me, Cartrell. Whether they want to go by choice or force, y'all getting out of here.
Oh, yeah, all of us.
None of us.
That's the philosophy of the Marines, right? No man
yeah.
left behind, right?
Yeah.
No man left behind.
Yeah.
And where do you think they got that from?
The Most High God of Abraham, Isaac,
okay.
and Jacob. Because
y'all said it way before they said it.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave none of them captive anymore.
Exactly. By force of
so all the people who think they got us captive, all the people who think they can take advantage of us, all the people who think they got us locked down, the goose that laid the golden egg, Yah's
mm-hmm.
taking that goose back. And he said, I'm not going to leave none of them. None of them. None of them will be left behind captive.
And God, right? Yeah, they can come in with that nonsense, talking about Allah, Buddha, Jesus. They ain't going to be here very long. Okay.
So you mentioned
Islam.
Allah and
yeah.
Islam. And Islam,
right.
Islamic slavery started before Christianity slavery.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was in the hands of the Arabs who took our name, our language, our culture, our history. It was the Arab Sahara slave trade that
right.
started before the Atlantic, transatlantic slave trade.
Exactly.
And we know that comes from Psalms 83, where they tried to destroy us as a nation.
Exactly.
But what did y'all say? They're
going to come back here one way or the other, because y'all is not going to let no captive be in their hands no more. Okay? For his name's sake. I ain't doing this for y'all. I'm doing it because y'all my inheritance, and I'm taking y'all out their hand. I'm going to deal with you when I get you here. Okay? You can call on Allah, Jesus, or anybody else you want to get here, but I got something for you when you get here. Okay? But I'm not. You're not gonna shame. You're not gonna profane my name nowhere. Nary one of you. And that's just dead on it. Better get your mind right. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we read the rap sheet, right? In Ezekiel, in Jeremiah, in Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Our nation's rap sheet don't look too good, do we?
No, and we ain't got nothing to be proud of.
And what does Yah say? Yah says, then I will leave none of them captive anymore. That's what the nations don't want to hear.
No.
As long as we're captive to them, they're taking our blessing away from us.
Exactly.
Most I told our father Abraham, your seed will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth.
Exactly.
And America is a superpower because of us.
Right.
Trust me. So.
And if we go to country as an ambassador or visitor to other nations, it's to represent the Most High. It ain't to represent Allah, Buddha, and nobody else. And that's that on that.
No doubt. So at this present moment in time, is Yah showing his face to us, or is he hiding his face from us?
I would say, Katrina, at this juncture, he's still hiding his face from us.
And why is he hiding his face from us?
We're not feeling our shame.
Because we're hard-headed, we're stiff-necked. Yes.
Without bearing our shame.
What does the Most High say about him hiding his face from us? 29. This is the Most High says about him hiding his face from us. He says, I won't hide my face from them anymore. Wow. How powerful the statement is that?
Exactly.
Do we know how powerful the statement is that? Do we know? I don't think we realize the power of that statement that Yah just said. I won't hide my face from them anymore. You know what that means, Yamsu?
The Most High.
You know what that means.
He will hear us. He will hear our cries.
And he will give his message,
right,
just like he does the animals.
Right.
And we will receive it.
Exactly.
We will receive it because he's not hiding his face from us anymore.
Praise God.
And even though the Most High is hiding his face, we've been doing pretty good, right?
if you call this good, I don't call it good.
We're still alive, ain't we?
Yeah, but it's just like people being in prison. They still alive, but it ain't the best place.
We walking dead, dry bone. We still alive. We still here.
I believe it.
So when Yah turns his face to us, how is that going to elevate us? How much more will that elevate us? And we're talking about spiritual powers. We're not talking about political, intellectual, physical powers. We're talking about spiritual powers.
Exactly.
When Yah turns his face to us, we're going to be like the animals. We hear you, Yah. We see you spiritually, Yah.
We're being
we've reconnected.
Just like those animals, we're being tuned in.
This is why the nations fear us. This is why the nations call us Black Hebrew terrorists. We ain't got AK-47s. We didn't attack the Capitol building, but you call us terrorists. Right? All right. But you know why we terror to you? Because when Yah turns his face to us and he says he won't hide his face from us, for I have poured my spirit on the house of Israel. Do you know what that means? Our people don't know what that means. These are just words. These are just words. When the creator of the universe pours his spirit out on his people, we don't even know the implications or the impact of what that means. Okay. So we'll read it.
Yeah. It'll be something quite different than what it is today. I assure you.
For I have poured my spirit out. This is future past tense particle. In Yah's mind, this has already happened. But we, waiting for Yah's plan to unveil, are waiting for this to happen. In Yah's mind, this has already happened. For I have poured out, that's past tense, my spirit on the house of Israel. We say it hasn't happened. In Yah's mind, it's already happened.
Exactly.
Let's figure that out.
Yeah, he said it's already done. It's a done deal.
It's already done. That's right. It's like the future is already done. He's laid out the plan. The future is already done. Are we going to be a part of it based on our choices? That's up to us. It's not up to Yah. Because the path you choose is the path that Yah's going to give you. You reap what you sow. So,
right.
You know. That Yah said he's not going to hide his face from us anymore. And we'll be just like the animals. When Yah sends out a message, guess what? We're going to hear it, we're going to receive it, and we're going to comply.
And
that's the point we're going to do.
But what are you going to do with it? That's the question.
Well, once you have that, you're already good. If you have that power to where you can speak to Yah face to face and he's answering you, you've achieved the goal.
Right.
Because if Yah's hiding his face from you, you're not on the right path.
Exactly.
And you want Yah to pour his spirit out on us. We only know our own spirit, don't we?
Exactly. Unfortunately.
We don't know how when Yah pours his spirit on us. King David knew. Yah put his spirit mightily upon King David. Yah put his spirit mightily upon Shimshon. And that's what we're talking about here. When Yah pours his spirit on you as a human, you do inhumane things because Yah's spirit is poured on you. I don't know if we understand that.
Well, we should try to understand it, or get some concept of it.
If we know our history, that's what Yah said. Yah poured his spirit mightily upon Shimshon. And what did he do when Yah poured his spirit mightily upon Shimshon? He brought down a whole Philistine temple and killed everybody that was in it. That's what happens when Yah pours his spirit mightily upon you.
Exactly.
And that's what he said he's going to do for our people. I won't hide my face from you anymore. And we've done all right with Yah turning his back on us. But when he turned his face, this is what our enemies fear, that Yah will hear us. We'll be in connection with him. We'll be in tune. And they have no wins. The fight is already fixed.
Praise Yah. Well, Godre, do you think you will have enough time to do chapter 86.
Chapter 86?
Yeah, I'm going to let you be the judge of that.
Sure. It's a short psalm, 17 verses.
Okay.
Surprisingly, another psalm by our king, King David.
Right.
He put it in the form of a prayer. A prayer and a song and a psalm. A prayer by King David, our king. Psalms 86, verse 1. Praise Yah, the Holy One of Israel. Hear, Yah, and answer me. It's a personal relationship that King David has with Yah. He like imploring Yah, hear me, Yah. We should all have that relationship. This is what I learned from, that I can call on Yah without needing no priest, no intercessor. Yah, hear me. You created me, hear me. Answer me. For I am poor and needy, because that's what I was. Preserve my soul. Oh, they got that subject of the soul. But I am godly. And being godly means that you want to have a relationship with the Most High God. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. So you have to give your life up to Yah to serve him. And in doing that, you have to trust that Yah is there in order for you to serve him. Be merciful to me, Yah. Why would you call on Yah to be merciful to us? Because none of us are perfect, but human beings. For But I call to you all day long. All day long, I want Yah to be with me. Bring joy to the soul of your servant. He's not worrying about his life. He's worried about his soul. How am I living? Am I doing the right thing? For to you, Yah, do I lift up my soul. Not his life, but his soul. My whole purpose in life is to live in my soul because you created my soul, and I want to give it back to you as your servant. For you, Yah, are good and ready to forgive because you know how frail we are. We have fallacies, flaws, faults, and King David acknowledges he's not perfect, and Yah is ready to forgive. Thank Yah for his mercy, his loving kindness that he shows upon the whole nation. Abundant and loving kindness to all those who call on you. So Yah is going to show his loving kindness to who? Those who call on him. So right here, King David opens the door. This is how I did it. And the doorway is open to you. You just have to call on Yah like I do. Hear Yah, my prayer. And Yah will hear all prayers that come through that door. Listen to the voice of my petition. It's personal. You got to get personal with Yah. Hear me, Yah. You know me. You created me before you placed me in my mother's womb. And I hope you hear my voice and you know me. In the day of my trouble, I will call on you. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm calling on you. For you will answer me. And this is how you try Yah, test Yah, and prove Yah. He created your soul. Yah, you created my soul. I'm calling on you in my troubles to help me. I'm going to say it for you for real. All nations you have made will come and worship before you. Because every living being, every human being, every nation on earth was created by who? And he created themselves. They sure didn't create themselves, did they? All nations you have been. How many nations on the planet Earth right now?
A lot of nations.
They will come and worship before you, Yah. They shall glory your name. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Shinto, not Jesus Christ. No. Does the world know Yah's name? If they don't, they will. For you are great. Yah is great. And do wondrous things. What are the wondrous things that Yah does? Are we about to go into the fall season? The winter season? Who created that? Those are the wondrous things. You got summer heat. Those are the wondrous things that Yah does. Because you can't even stare at the sun, not even for a minute, without going blind. And only Yah could have created that. And the sun gives us light, heat. It creates life on earth. Those are the wondrous things that we take for granted. You are Yah alone. So Christianity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, the Old Testament said Yah was alone. Teach me your way, Yah. I will walk in your truth. King David, I will walk in your truth. And we all have to individually make that commitment. That's his vow to Yah. King David vowed, what? Teach me your way, Yah. His vow is that I will walk in your truth. And you can't lie to Yah. And King David wasn't lying to Yah. Make my heart undivided to fear your name. Because most people don't know what it is to fear Yah's name, our creator, who created the sun, the moon, the stars, the four seasons, the oceans, and our very own souls. King David says, I will praise you, Yah, my Elohim, with my whole heart, not 70, 30, 60, 40, 100%, my heart is in it. I will glorify your name forever. How do you do that if you only live to be 70, 80, 90 years old? How are you going to glorify Yah's name forever unless he restores your soul? For you, your loving kindness is great towards me. And we know that Yah loved King David, because King David's heart was right. King David's heart was right to the point where he says, you have delivered my soul, not my life. from the lowest of Sheol. You know that King David is not going to Sheol. How about you? Are you walking the path of Yah so that you don't go to the lowest part of Sheol? Only Yah knows the heart. And King David's heart was right. So he knew that his soul would not be sent to the lowest part of Sheol. Yah, the proud have risen up against me. And that's what's going to happen when you try to walk with Yah. The evil people in the earth are going to try to divert you from that path. Because misery loves company. They want everybody to go to hell. But you have to resist. And people are going to rise against you to take your soul to Sheol. A company of violent men has sought after my soul. And there's still violent men on the earth who's seeking after the soul of the saints of the Most High, the nation of Israel. They got us discombobulated, divided, and destroyed. And they want to take us to Sheol, and we're not going there. And they don't hold regard for you before them. We know that the nations don't regard Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They want to know, who is that? Who are you talking about? You're part of a cult. But you, Yah, are merciful. Praise Yah. Give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, because he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, because Yah could have destroyed his whole creation long time ago. He did with the flood. He could have went back to square one, going back to the drawing board. My creation doesn't appreciate the gifts that I've given them. But Yah showed us loving kindness and mercy, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. The Most High is not going to lie to us. He's exposed his plan. He's told us the codes, and these codes stand on truth, not on lies. Turn to me, says Yah. No, King David. Turn to me, Yah, and have mercy on me. We want Yah to turn his face towards us in order so that he has mercy on us, his creation. Give your strength to your servant. And that's where we should get our strength from. We know where King David says he gets his strength from. He's asking Yah to give his strength. Give your strength to your servant, me, King David. Save the son of your servant. Show me a sign of your goodness. You always got to look for Yah's signs and Yah's goodness, because he will show it to you, his signs and his goodness. If you seek it out, search it out, and ask him for it. Don't be afraid to ask him for a sign and for his goodness. That those that hate me, because there's people out there that hate you, that hate us, may see it and be ashamed. And why should they hate us if we walk in the righteous path? We don't hate nobody. We ain't looking for no vengeance for nobody. We're just trying to walk by the ways and the codes of Yah. And people still hate you. And they should be ashamed. Because you, Yah, have helped me. And that's what they hate. That the Most High helps us. And have comforted me. And Yah will always bring us comfort. He'll let us know what we're doing wrong. But he always has that comfort for us. And I want to take this opportunity to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel on this Friday night when we do that, for the help that Yah has given me, for the comfort that Yah has given me, for the mercy and the kindness that Yah has shown me. Because it's true. The Creator of the universe does show mercy, kindness, love, and he will help you if you connect with him. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. And I like to say, in conjunction with that, not only for me, but for most of us, the Most High, when the opportunity presents itself, when the Most High has restored some of us, restored our souls for his name's sake, or just to transition over, and he let his spirit be poured out upon us, so we be tuned into. I pray that the Most High do it for me personally, that I would give praise to him in the great assembly when we are restored back together. Personally, I pray for all of us that opportunity that you can make the same statement to the Most High, that spirit be poured out upon you, so you can get codified. And you praise and thank him in the great assembly. Make that vow and keep that vow. Also that he restore my soul for his name's sake, that he restore my health. He give me a new heart and a new spirit, as Ezekiel mentions, because we're going to need that new heart and new spirit. And that we learn how to be humble. And we learn to bear our shame. I pray and bless and praise his holy name for his mercy and loving kindness. Cottrell, we did a good job, my brother. And so it's time for us to get on out of here. You got any closing remarks, Cottrell?
Oh, yeah. Praise y'all. And I miss my sister, Sister Yehudi, Sister Avia, Ima Hadora. It's like different, a different, you know, type of vibe when they're not here.
Right.
You know, we need them.
Exactly.
But their voices are heard. And we give thanks and praise that the Most High allows us to allow their voices to be heard. Because we definitely need the voices of our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, so that we can be balanced in our efforts to serve Yah. Because Yah is merciful. Yah is kind. And we thank Yah for his mercy, his loving kindness, and his mercy towards us. Because the way he describes our rap sheet, we should not even be here right now. So we ask y'all to turn his face towards us and empower us to exalt and glorify his name. And we thank him for all the opportunity that he gives us. So we're trying to build this nation, trying to apply the commands of Yah by gathering our nation, our people, to love one another, to love Yah. And we hope that the audience that's out there will help us in that building process. So help us out, y'all. Send a dollar for the show. Y'all will gather that up. Send your donation, $1. It ain't a lot. And it may seem like trivial, capitalistic, but we're trying to do the works with y'all in order to fulfill prophecy, his commands for us as a nation, and to glorify his holy name. And that's all it's really for. So once again, I thanks and praise the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Your nations need you, and you need your nation. Let's work together. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Katria, everyone said, send blessings to the people.
May Yah bless us and keep us. May Yah make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May Yah lift up his countenance upon us, because that's what the people fear, and give us peace. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Shalom. Most High willing, we'll see you Monday. Have a blessed weekend. And good night.
Hush not, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complications. take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, you must be forsaken, for you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it. Just move on.